And of course, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Christy Whitman, author of The Desire Factor, as we talk about manifestation. Make the call, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with you, Christy Whitman with us. Christy, what do you think of prayer, and why do you believe it probably works? I know it works.
Well, yeah, it's a conversation with the divine. You know, it's when we ask, it is given. It says it in the Bible. But here's the thing: prayer works for those that use it. But most people, when they pray, they're focused on what they don't want. I know that when my mom prays, she's like, oh, I pray that this will, you know, and she's in like fear when she's praying. I pray that this will happen or this won't happen. And so we have to remember that the energy we give out, even when we're setting an intention or we're praying, we're talking to the divine, you know, we're asking for something, it's coming from a place of asking for what we want, not what we don't want. So it's all in the energy in which we ask.
Interesting, though. And by asking doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, does it?
Well, the prayers get answered. Sometimes it doesn't look like it is from a human perspective, because a lot of times we get very attached to the form of something, right? It might be, I pray that, you know, my husband starts loving me, or he stays, or, you know, that I get this relationship with that person, or that person changes their mind. And the divine's like, nope, I got a better person for you. I got a better relationship for you. So the human may lose the relationship. I've seen this happen so many times. And they're devastated. They're upset. But they get over it, and they heal from it. And then they meet someone better, and the relationship's even better. The divine has a bird's eye view on our life, and it has a much more expanded, more better options, has infinite potential and possibilities, whereas we as a human are coming from our human experience and see only what, you know, the form it is. And so we need to have more faith and trust that when we do ask, that it is being done for us and in a better way that we can even conceive for ourselves.
Does the spiritual person generally get it done a little better than somebody who's not?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual people that still have a lot of imprints. I mean, I see people that are very spiritual, good-intended people, but they have imprints of, say, for example, success, you know, and they sabotage themselves, and they only allow themselves to be as successful as they deem that they are worthy of. So, you know, it's like a plumber. You have good plumbers and bad plumbers, right? And you have spiritual people that are expanded into energy, and other people that are more conditioned and they don't understand, you know, the abundance that is available to them. They're still in their lack and limitation.
Interesting take. Let's take some calls west of the Rockies. Amy's with us in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Hello, Amy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing. You're on with Christy.
Hi.
Hi, Christy. Thanks so much. Your insight is very helpful, so I'm very appreciative to be listening tonight.
Thank you so much.
So, of course. My question for you is, so the old imprints that kind of are blocking one from moving forward and kind of living their best life, how do you recommend releasing those?
Yeah, so it's really about being an energy master, right? So when we know that there's a block, like we can feel there's some kind of a block, maybe that comes up as an emotion. You know, we might think of something that we want or desire, and then we have this emotion of fear that kind of comes up. It kind of comes up in our throat, or we feel it in our solar plexus. When that happens, that's an indication that there's energy that needs to be released. And so what myself and the council recommend doing is getting out of the mind, dropping from the mind into the heart, opening up your heart energetically, just feel your heart expanding, and then moving your conscious awareness into your belly. You know, our belly and below our belly button, this is our emotional body. And anytime there's some type of emotion that happens, we usually feel it first in the gut, and then there's like a visceral, you know, reaction that happens with the rest of our cells. But when a block occurs, we feel an emotion, and then we close down. And so then we don't allow ourselves to feel a sadness, or we won't allow ourselves to open up our heart to be able to process the emotions. So I recommend going into the belly You could even put your hand on your belly. You know, your emotions have an energetic vibration, just like your heartbeat does, like your pulse. And so you can ask your body to literally pulsate whatever emotion is in that block. So whatever you're feeling is holding you back. Tell your body to release it. And it's kind of like, if you like an analogy, it's like a surfer in the ocean waiting for a wave to come. And when that wave comes, it's like jump on that surfboard and ride it all the way to the shore. It takes about 90 seconds when you just literally let yourself feel the pulsation of the energy. It will get bigger and bigger, and depending on how long it's been there, it might come in a couple of waves. But you're holding that energy, and you're just literally pulsating with it, and you're letting it release out of your body. And then once it does, once you feel that release, you want to bring in a new energy. So, well, like we were talking about, asking for the energy of joy, for example, or freedom, or whatever it is you're wanting to feel. And you can do this by visualizing that all the cells in your body are like little cups, and they're turning up to the light, and they're just literally like you're being doused in water, like you're just being doused in light, every single cell just being filled up. And that changes the configuration of energy within your body. It releases the block, and then it brings in a higher energy, so that you're no longer in that block, or you're no longer in that set point of the old energy.
Christy, we're talking about the obstacles that get in the way of people not being able to manifest, and you said the most important was ourselves. We seem to block ourselves. What were the other couple?
So other people, you know, other people saying that we can't do something, or that, you know, maybe we're partnered with someone and they're like, I don't want you to do that. That's not my desire. So we let other people influence our desires. And then the third is not knowing how. We don't know how. And our minds tell us, well, I can't do that. I don't know how.
Well, when you say that, I don't know how, is that something we do to ourselves?
Yeah, it's a feeling of just not knowing. And the mind, our minds want to know. It's one of the principles I talk about, the desire factor, the principle of surrender, because the mind wants to know who, where, what, you know, with who, when, how, all of that stuff. That's the mind's job, to try to figure it out. And if we don't have the idea of how it's going to happen and the exact steps in getting there, a lot of times we think, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to, I've got this idea for an invention. I don't know how to invent. Right? So it stops us there from moving forward with that desire to create something new or to create a company. I've never created a company before. I don't know how to do that. So the idea for a business, we stop ourselves because we don't know how to do it.
Let's go to East Moses with us in Tallahassee, Florida. Hello, Moses.
Hi, George. Hi, how are you doing? Hi, Miss Christy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fairly well, thank you. Well, you touched on part of the question I wanted to ask you when you mentioned the solar plexus and the heart area. I wanted to ask you, do you recommend a full earth grounding and meditation and a chakra touching exercises to enhance your spiritual energies and focus?
Well, yeah, there are seven major chakras, but there are actually more chakras that are in our bodies. And when you really think about it, chakras are the place where we bring in energy. So it's another way of saying, when we're bringing in energy, we're bringing in the divine. And so even just our third eye, like the council talks about, is our faith portal. And when we open up that chakra and we focus our attention more on what we want and less of what we don't, or that something besides us is looking out for us, and that things are always working out for us, we're opening up our faith portal. We can't get any more faith, but where we focus our attention creates either fear or faith. So each of these different centers allows us to feel a different connection. The solar plexus is our power center, and we either feel that we're powerless because it's blocked, or we feel powerful. And as the council shares, there's like seven layers to the solar plexus, because the first several layers are our spiritual power, but then it goes into our own personal personality power, what we feel we have power over, power under, you know, that kind of typical personality power when we think of power. And so for us to be able to connect in that area and open that up, it's about 2 inches above your belly button. And when it's open, we actually can feel more present in our body. So opening up our chakras and allowing that energy to flow in, we feel more grounded, to answer your question. We feel more present, and we're more allowing not just ourselves to identify with just our personality, but also with the energy that's breathing us.
Is it easy for you to pinpoint what somebody is doing wrong if they can't manifest?
Yeah, when I hear someone talking and I could tell what their story is, most people don't realize that when they're talking about something. I'll give you an example. I had a woman that was saying to me, you know, I want my ideal partner and I have my whole life planned out with him and we're having kids and where we're living and, you know, everything's great. We enjoy so many things. Where is he? You know, it's like that. Where is he? He isn't here yet. How long do I have to wait? She was in lack. She's in impatience. And that impatience, that constant noticing that he's not here yet and not being satisfied with her life until he gets here, that was the block. So sometimes it's someone's energy I'm picking up. Sometimes it's just what they say. It's literally like what we're talking about as far as what consciousness is. What behaviors are they doing? What actions? You know, and the council goes deeper with people because they have a very different vantage point. They can see people holographically. And they're amazing because they'll pinpoint an exact time that a person got a block. And they'll tell them, you know, you were 6 when this happened. And then the person's like, oh, my God, how can they even know this? That's when my parents got a divorce, or that's when I was abused, or that's when we moved from one city to a different country. I mean, it's always amazing a person's lifetime, where we get blocked and what situations block us and that we don't even know. And the council is able to pinpoint it and help them release it so that they can move forward.
Next up, we're going to our wild card line in Virginia. The person wants to be called anonymous, so that's what it will be. Hello there.
Hi. What if your life just doesn't work and it keeps getting worse and it's gotten to the point where it doesn't seem like it can actually get better? I mean, like, I'm in constant physical pain all the time.
How old are you, can I ask?
50.
50. Now, you're young. You're
yeah,
young.
But it's been, I have done Louise Hay and a number of these modalities, and it might get better for a really short time, and then there's this god-awful rebound effect, like, oh, you dumbass, you hoped.
You can't say that.
Sorry, but it just, I've gotten to the point where all I want is out.
All right.
I really want is just out.
How about a little advice for her, Christy?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm sorry the place that you're at. I understand. I've seen this. My sister was in that place. I've seen lots of clients get in that place. And it is very frustrating when you have done it all, when you felt like you've done the therapy, you've done the workshops, you've done the affirmations. And the thing that I can honestly say is that there's a deeper way to work, and that's with working with energy. The feeling of I just want out. There's an energy, there's an emotion that's tied to that. And if you start to just process your emotions, we know now there are so many different evidence that any emotion that's been stuck in the body creates the pain. So the fact that you're in pain, there's blocked, stuck energy. I have seen this over and over with people that have had ailments. And, you know, I can just think of 10 people that worked with the council, for example, that literally had their health improve. They released pain, they released digestion problems, hormone problems, aches and pains in the body. I mean, on and on it goes. There's been doctors that with my clients that have been astonished, like, we don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I had one man that said, by doctor's orders, I need to continue doing energy work. So, you know, it's really about going deeper with the energy. And just when we feel so frustrated, use that frustration in your life to feel it, feel the frustration. But, you know, we have to get out of the place of feeling like life is so hard and life's not working for me, because you have a lot of momentum in that direction, 50 years of probably things that have happened to you, things that have happened, and you've then, you know, felt like you're a victim to it. Things are happening again to you instead of for you. And there is, because you are still here, there is a divine that knows that you are significant, that feels you are important, that knows you have value because you're breathing. It's beating your heart, and it's returning back, going inside to that divine that's breathing you and realizing that your life is worth living because you are. And starting there, but feeling the emotions, releasing the emotions, but you also have to release the thought process around it. And that's the hardest part for most people, is that if you've been going on this trail of, you know, creating momentum towards a direction of where you don't like and what you don't want, you know, contrast is in your face. You've got to start asking yourself, what do you want? Why do you want it? How do you want to feel? And then learning how to feel in that way, but got to process out the negative energy that's causing the pain, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally.
And isn't it also true, Christy, that no matter how bad things may seem, they could get better?
Absolutely. George, you can look at any situation, and you could have someone look at what's wrong and bad about the situation. You could have somebody else look at what's right and good about it. It's our perspective that changes. Everything is subjective. It's our own focus and attention on it that creates our reality. And so you could have, I work with, you know, the celebrities and athletes where, you know, they have money, they have things in their life, but they still have a negative focus and attention on something. And so they feel miserable, where you have some people that, you know, barely have enough money, but they have a good attitude and they're happy and they're enjoying their lives and they're grateful. So, you know, it's all about where we place our focus.
Absolutely, to be sure. Let's go to Jeremy in North Dakota. Jeremy, welcome to the program. Jeremy was in a coma for a long time, by the way, Christy. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Wow.
Hello, my best friend George and his guest, Christy.
Hi there.
I would like to know, can you give me a clue why I survived my tragic auto accident over 17 years ago?
How about that? Because there's a reason that they want him around, Christy.
Right. Yeah, so the council is a really good, you know, when I bring them in, but myself, Christy Whitman, you know, being a human being myself and being an expert on this, I can't say why they chose or why it chose you, but clearly it did. And so, you know, you are here, and that's for you to live that your life, you're still breathing, to live your life to the fullest that you can and just look at it as a blessing that you got, whether you call it a second chance or you got, you know, you have a totally different perspective now than you did before. It's not why did they save me or why am I chosen? It's like, thank you, and now live your life. And, you know, you can connect with your guides and your divine and really look at, and it's always the quality of the questions that we ask ourselves that determines what happens in our lives. And so, you know, it's like, what can I do to be more of service? What can I do to be living more in my purpose? What could I do to share more love and light on this planet? You know, what could I do to be more alive instead of why me? Because that really, why not you? You're here. You've been given a second chance. Might as well love it and live it.
Absolutely. But there's, you know, and a lot of times I have found that the answer of why me might not come right away.
Right.
You know, and it'll come eventually, but it might not be, you know, today, tomorrow. It may be a couple of years from now.
But the why, it's an interesting question. Why me? And it almost comes from a place of like, why am I so special? Like, you know, like, why did you choose me? That was one of my first questions when counsel started coming through me. I'm like, why did you choose me? And it's like, why not me? You know, it's like that Marianne Williamson, you know, kind of poem, if you will, from her Return to Love. Is who am I to be brilliant and, you know, gorgeous and successful and all that? Who are you not to be? Why you? Because you are.
Christy, we're going to come back and take some final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about the right of free speech and then later on the angelic realm on Coast to Coast, so make sure you're part of the program. Welcome back to our final segment with Christy Whitman. George Norrie with you. Her book is called The Desire Factor. Her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Christy, we always hear that meditation works. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Meditation changed my life 25 years ago. That's the thing that allowed me to start quieting my mind, paying attention to my thoughts. It allowed me to change my state of being. It's the thing that literally to this day, doesn't have to take hours and hours, puts me in a state of just receiving the divine, divine insights, divine feelings. And, there's so many different benefits that we now know to meditation, whether it's, you know, physiologically or mental or, you know, just it goes on and on. I mean, you know, stress is one of the biggest things that we as humans, fall prey to and don't know how to process. And meditation is one of those things that helps us release our stress.
Is there a proper way to do it?
There are, I mean, so many different ways of doing it. I just say that I offer a lot of guided meditations because the thought of someone quieting their mind and being, you know, just going in a room being quiet is people say, oh, I can't do it, right? Well, they're not trained. It's like going into the gym and trying to pick up a 50-pound weight if you've never picked up a weight before. So we it's a training that has to happen, and there's different stages and different aspects of meditation. So a lot of times the mind likes a guided meditation because at least it's focusing on something. It doesn't have to be completely still, which drives the monkey mind crazy. And so starting off with doing something like a walking meditation or a guided meditation where the mind can focus on something but not have to be totally blank is a good way to start.
And since you've been doing this, what has been for you personally one of the greatest things that has happened?
I grew up in a family. Again, my parents are still married, been married 65 years, but I remember...
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. They're in their late 80s. And they've just always been nasty to each other. They're very abusive mentally and physically. Even still. It's so sad. And so as a small child, I remember feeling like I wanted to have a very different relationship. And so one of my best manifestations that I have to date is that I have a beautiful husband that is so respectful and loving, and we have a very caring, you know, loving relationship. And my kids, my two boys, grow up to that, and they're growing up in that, and they see us flirt with each other, and they see us laugh, and they see us, you know, have affection.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So that's to me has been the greatest manifestation is letting two children that have come into this world live in a very different family than I grew up in.
Did you ever talk to your parents about how they treat each other, or do they just not want to hear it from you?
Well, yeah, I have. And as a matter of fact, they just don't realize that they do it. I mean, that's the whole thing of transformation. I mean, you have to be aware of your behavior. My mom went into the ER a couple of weeks ago, and my dad was screaming and yelling at her. And I, in the background, when she was calling me as she was heading to the ER, and I told my dad, I said, Dad, she's scared. She doesn't know what's going on with her. She needs her partner to be compassionate and loving. He said, what are you talking
supporting,
about?
Supporting, yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I wasn't yelling at her. He's not even aware he does it.
And he's never been aware of that, has he?
No.
Let's go to the calls. Mike in Colorado. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thank you so
good
much.
Good morning, Mike.
And Christy, wow, first of all, above all, just thank you so much for sharing your story and for helping all these people. It really means a lot to me. And I've already purchased your ebook, and I look forward to reading the whole thing when I get a chance. So just thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So tonight I had a comment and a question. So Christy, the new book, the premise of this book talks about these seven universal principles for, you know, tapping into the energy stream that is kind of the source for bringing about the manifestation of the things you want, which is really kind of an interesting method or concept because, you know, we hear a lot about the conventional ways of manifesting things with kind of the law of attraction and the power of positive thinking. But, you know, a lot of, I think, of what the ways of acquiring these skills comes with life experience and age. But for, you know, younger people like myself, millennials and Gen Z, what is some advice you would give to younger people that may not have as much life experience for implementing or tapping into these seven universal principles? Thank you.
Great question. First of all, I need to hire you as my spokesperson because
he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Wow. So, yeah, you know, everybody from infants to elderly can understand energy. And when we come into our physical bodies, we understand that if we want something, need something, we need to process the energy. I remember when my child was, Maxim, was about 5 years old, we were driving away from the house to take my my husband on a racetrack where he was going to drive around a Lamborghini and Ferrari, and it was about 40 minutes away from the house, and he was started crying about 10-15 minutes into the ride. I miss my home. And he just cried and cried. And now if I was my mom to him, I would say, stop crying. Don't be ridiculous. You know, we're just coming back home, justifying it. He cried, and I just held his hand, and he just was with his emotions. He felt the feeling that he needed to feel, and then he wiped his tears about 90 seconds later, and then he was fine for the rest of the day. But we are raised with this, stop doing this and stop feeling. And so when we can return to understanding that our emotions are our guidance system and that our emotions are important, it tells us, are we moving in the direction of what we want or what we don't want? You know, as a boundary being crossed, when we can really allow ourselves to feel the full spectrum of our emotions and not suppress the lower level emotions, we are allowed to feel the full range of emotions. So it doesn't matter what someone's age is. When you can understand how to master your own energy and process your emotions, now you're in a place where you can master your life.
Indeed, indeed. Maria's with us in Illinois. Hi, Maria.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, you're very welcome.
So I had some questions, and I had a few follow-up questions. Mine's kind of like a multifaceted question, but different follow-up questions.
Sure.
So I know that you had mentioned earlier about how if you have a really strong burning desire, it's probably from the universe, because the universe, if you have a really strong burning desire, it comes from the universe, because the universe isn't going to give you a strong burning desire of something that is not meant for you or that you can't have or that you have no interest in.
Yes.
This is where, like, different follow-up questions come up. So, like, what if you really, really deeply, desperately want something and it's a burning desire, but all obstacles, all things seem to point that you're not meant to have it or that it's not meant for you, even though you desperately have a burning desire for it or a person, a particular person, does that mean that not all desires, strong burning desires that you have, come from the universe? And then
no.
Also,
so here's what happens a lot of times is we get a desire. It could be a burning desire to be in a relationship. And what happens by the time it filters from the divine or the universe into us, we think, oh, I want a relationship, and then it has to be that person. And so we, in our human experience, get very caught up in the form. It's got to be that house that I buy. It's got to be that person that I'm in a relationship with. So just because you have this burning desire to be in a relationship, right, you get this desire from the divine to be in a relationship, it doesn't mean it has to be that person, but the person may take it as, oh, I have this burning desire to be in a relationship with that person and only that person. And that's where we get stuck and limited. And that's one of the principles, is the principle of surrender, is that if you have this burning desire to be in a relationship and it's not working where you're in the relationship with that particular person, it doesn't mean that that's the only person that can curl your toes. It's not the only person that can, you know, have this amazing relationship with you. And to be open to that, you know, the divine has so many other possible souls that you can partner with and have an incredible life with. But if you're focused on it's that person and only that person and I can't have that person, now you're really putting a lot of negative energy and resistance into the equation. And so that's where the surrendering to the form, meaning that particular person, Because ultimately, if you want to be in a relationship, what's the feeling that you're after? Why do you want a relationship? I remember being single and wanted a partner, and I thought, well, what is it that I'm wanting to get from a partner that I'm not giving to myself? And that was love and connection. And as soon as I started giving myself that love and connection and cultivating that within myself, I met my husband. So, you know, the divine is giving you a gift that it doesn't necessarily look like a form of something. Find the energy of it and release that particular form so that you're not in resistance of it.
And I think Maria had a follow-up question. Go ahead, Maria.
A couple more follow-up questions. But what if this person that you really want to be with is everything that you've ever wanted, that it's very specific, you're not easily attracted to anybody, and this person is exactly the type that they just have fit everything that you really want to a T, like a jigsaw puzzle? I find that other people are attracted to me, but how is it that they say that what you focus on is what you attract? Well, I don't focus on guys that I don't want, but I always attract the guys that I have no physical attraction to, no interest in. And is it possible to visualize and manifest what you really or who you really do want? Can your visualizations ever manifest or work on someone from a distance?
Absolutely.
And what about as far as, you know, what does it mean when you always attract the exact opposite of what you want? You don't think about what you don't want, but you always attract who you don't want and never attract the type that you do. And can you ever visualize a particular person from a distance? Can your visualizations ever work on somebody or influence somebody from a distance?
So let me break all those questions down. So first of all, it is our asking, not necessarily what we're consciously asking, but our whole entire energy body. So there could be blocks of why you continue to attract someone that you don't want or not attracted to. We would have to have a conversation or talk with the council to find out why. But we're attracting from our subconscious as much as we are from our conscious. And if we're attracting what we don't want, a lot of times it's because we're not aware of what signals we're sending out. You might say you want love, but have split energy on it and protecting yourself against love. So what you're now attracting is someone that you're not attracted to. So it's like you're not at risk to be in a relationship because you're not attracted to that person. So that could be going on. There are a host of other reasons that could be happening, but we always do attract from what we're sending out. Now, with this person that has every single quality that you want, celebrate the match of that. Say, yeah, this or someone better, but these are the qualities. Like, get excited. Like, these are the qualities I really like in someone. So for whatever reason, if it's not this person, if you're not putting resistance in it, it could end up being that person. But celebrating the closeness of the match, celebrating the fact that these are the qualities, and now you're aware and clear on these are the qualities, that's in a better position than not having any clue what kind of qualities you want in someone. And your last question about can you attract? Yeah, I was feeling my husband, Frederick, long before he ever came into my life, and I was feeling him telepathically. You have to remember, when you get in a relationship with someone, whether it's a business relationship or a romantic relationship, we are souls, and these souls already exist on the planet right now, and you can start telepathically connecting with them, and you can feel them in your experience. And that's what I was doing with Frederick. I was having conversations with him in my mind long before his physical body came to meet me. And when I met him, it's like, I know you, because I've been already having a soul relationship with him long before the physical came into being.
Aren't you glad you're doing this for a living?
Oh, so blessed, so grateful, so grateful. Yes.
You manifested it for yourself, didn't you?
I did, you know, because I was a pharmaceutical rep. I was working and living this information for myself, and I realized as I was a pharmaceutical rep, I'm like, I don't have passion and purpose in what I'm doing. I feel out of alignment in what I'm doing. I'm selling stuff, but what's the purpose of it? And so I thought to myself, okay, you know that if you want to attract something, you can't be in lack of something. You have to be in the fulfillment of it. And so for me, it was like I cultivated in my meditations the feeling of purpose and passion, even though I didn't even know what the form was. And it was within a month after really creating that momentum of energy of feeling on purpose and feeling passionate, that's when my first book came through me. And when my first book came through me, I got it published. I started speaking in spiritual bookstores and churches. And then people started asking me to coach them. I had no concept of coaching. I got a football coach, cheerleading coach. I mean, this was 20 years ago. Coaching wasn't, you know, mainstream.
Right.
And so people would call me on the phone, and I loved the process. And I loved the fact that they would get results and call me back or email me back and go, oh, my gosh, this happened. I mean, the whole process for me, I had passion and purpose about. And that's what I continued to follow. And if you would have told me you'd be channeling, you know, ascended masters through you, that you'd be writing books and you'd be, you know, certifying coaches, and I would have said you're crazy. But I'm so grateful it's happened. But it's because I followed the energy first. It always is.
Christy, thanks for being on the program. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much, George. Appreciate you.
That's Christy Whitman, whose websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.